believe in miracles.
Don't say people. I'm doing business here, man.
I don't want anybody tells you words and ideas can change the world.
Pay no attention to that man behind the
90% of what you're saying ain't coming out of your mouth.
From failing, you learn. From success, not so much.
Keep moving forward.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I am Jeff Randolph. This small business podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. Yes, we are going to talk about marketing, but our clients are all entrepreneurs. And as you know, entrepreneurs are amazing. They're visionaries. They move the economy forward. They're the ones who bring the needed services to the community because they're the ones who see the opportunity and grab onto it and make it happen. We celebrate that on this show. We give advice, we have tips, and each week we're going to introduce you to another small business hero and hear their story and grab some inspirational advice along the way. Are you ready? Here we go. All right. Hey, Ashley Tebbe is with us. Ashley is the senior art director here at EAG Advertising and Marketing, which gives us the ability to talk to somebody who really knows what they're doing when it comes to, you know, design and looking at stuff that's really pretty. So welcome, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm good.
Excellent. You walk in and you get exposed to all kinds of like crazy websites from clients, from prospective clients. When you also do a lot with UX, yes, true,
yes,
true,
yes, and UI
and UI. So let's break it down first for a second. Like UX and UI, what do we mean when we say these things? If someone hears these letters together, what does it mean?
UX is user experience. That is looking at a website or a digital product or any product for that matter with the end user in mind. So you're thinking logic, you're thinking how will I interact with this? How can I make this seamless? How can I allow for them to convert quickly? UI is dealing with more of the aesthetics. And so it's thinking, you're still thinking of the end user, but you're thinking about how they look at something versus the path.
Okay. So when you start out and you're looking at a website like that, are you looking at a checklist of things that you know you need to go through? Are you putting yourself in the mind of the lowest common denominator kind of client or viewer that app or website would have? Or what do you do when you first approach that kind of thing? What are you looking at?
Well, it depends first on if I'm looking at a pre-existing website or we're working on a new web project. Mm-hmm. With a pre-existing website, it tends to feel like a ball of yarn that you're just slowly trying to unspool so you can figure out the different pieces and parts. Because if you're coming into this without having any kind of experience working on this client or project or with the end users, you just kind of, you need to take a minute to unwind the architecture and the way the site's laid out and the way the users are currently experiencing it. With a brand new web project, I take a minute to really look at the brief. Mm-hmm. I really look at who the target market is, the target audience, and see if there's anything missing from that brief first. Is there any other questions I need to go through? And then I go look at their website or I look at competitors' websites with that end user in mind and think about what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And I do this because we work with a variety of clients at EAG. Mm-hmm. So our end users aren't all just in a medical space or a manufacturing space, B2B, B2C. They're all over the board. You could be looking at a variety of ages, demographics. So it's really important for me to know what else is out there in that space right now to make sure I'm understanding the end user's perspective.
Yeah, and I know that from a client's point of view, and even us, if we're looking at our own website, we go blind to it. Like, we see that website every single day. We think it's easy to navigate because we built it. And how often does that happen where someone just has no idea what a brand new person thinks about their website because they're so close to it. It's difficult. So you come in at that point and you're the outsider and you can be the bad guy and you can tell somebody, hey, your baby's really pretty, but in this area, it's really ugly.
Yeah. And it's less about your baby's really pretty in this area, it's really ugly. It's more like, how can we make your baby the best baby it can possibly be?
That's a much better way to put
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. That, thank you very much, Ashley, for talking to us just a little bit about UX, UI. If you have gone, if you fear that you've gone blind to your website and you're not sure how people will take it in and where people struggle, we're going to come back with another couple tips on how you might look at that. So thanks so much for being with us, Ashley.
Thank you.
All right, welcome. We have our special guest with us today. It's Chrissy Dastrup. She is running for city council. That's, I mean, a little daunting. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here this morning with you, drinking excellent, delicious coffee.
Coffee from
early
Cafe
morning
Corazon.
Meetings are just the best, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. Tell me. So help everybody know a little bit more about you. What are you doing? Who are you? Who are you? Tell us about
gosh,
you.
How
what
much
do you got
time
going on?
Just, okay. Chapter one.
Okay.
So I am a transplant to Kansas City as of 15 years.
Okay.
I've lived all over the country. If you detect a southern drawl, it's because I was raised in the sticks of Arkansas.
All right.
I have two advanced science degrees, but I took a little bit of a pivot. Is that the word we use on podcast? Pivot.
I
pivoted when I realized I wasn't as passionate about that as I was about some other things.
Gotcha.
And I didn't really know what those things were specifically, because you know, in southern Arkansas, you can be a nurse or a teacher or a lawyer or a doctor, and you don't know there are any other jobs at all on the planet. Or a logger. You could be,
okay,
you could work at the mill. And so I really had a lot of exploring to do to decide what I was passionate about. And I got involved in just a lot of community work.
Mm-hmm.
I served on a lot of different boards, from the ballet school board, which is where I met Michelle Markham, Queen Bee. And I really just loved that so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was a self-taught graphic designer, creative, marketing, had a marketing mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I opened up a marketing business because, you know, why not?
Yeah, no, I mean, who wouldn't?
I just thought this seems like kind of a catch-all, because I'm also very philosophical, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said marketing is everything.
Yeah.
Everything is marketing. In this 3D world,
true,
everything is marketing. And so, and I think that ultimately it was a smart decision, because that is just very true.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the community work that I've done, everything from communications to, you know, adequately relaying information, understanding how people think about things.
Mm-hmm.
These are all important to all of the community work that I've done, and obviously very important in politics.
Yeah. So, and politics is you're selling a product, the same as mm-hmm. you would if you were any other marketing person. You're, whether it's a good or service, you're selling your ideas. You're selling
you as a candidate.
You
know, ideas are a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the value proposition is that, you know, I'm capable of succeeding and mm-hmm. implementing. I'm strong, because this is hard work, and everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people just kind of fall to the wayside once
right.
they realize how hard it is. That I'm honest, and this is a true value,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so a lot of these themes in political races are just the same themes that any marketer is thinking about when they're coming up with a campaign for anything. Right.
Right. So you've got a brand position. You've got
mm-hmm.
an audience that you appeal to more than the other candidate or that kind of thing. How have you approached the marketing of your own campaign?
I'm so glad you asked that question. So because I have a long marketing background, and I actually have worked in politics working on campaigns for some time, and you know, I've watched it done a million different ways, and I paid a lot of attention and
mm-hmm.
thought, what would I do if I ever run for office? And so ultimately I decided that if I couldn't be authentically me
mm-hmm.
out running for office, that I didn't want it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I took the position of, I'm really going to put myself out there with, you know, with everything from graphics,
mm-hmm.
messaging, how I roll it out,
mm-hmm.
what components I'm focusing on, what colors I'm using.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if you've seen my pink billboard in the Crossroads. See my pink business card.
It is
right
a pink business card.
And you know what? My name is Chrissy, which sounds like a, you know, like a 14-year-old girl, but that is my name. And, you know, I wanted something that was very, you know, I'm a woman,
mm-hmm.
and I love pink, and I love bright colors. And so I really kind of went in a direction
mm-hmm.
that I think ultimately has set me apart, because nobody else is using my colors, believe it or not. And I, you know, with my photography, I worked with a very talented photographer named Tyler Workin, and I've known him for a long time. And I just said, Tyler, just kind of capture me. And he's kind of known for that. That's kind of his shtick. You know, he does storytelling through video and photo. He's just incredible. I said, I want people to feel like they know me from my photos. I don't want to be in a blazer posed with, you know, my head tilted 25 degrees off.
The chin angle this way,
and
offset shoulders.
I said, I really just want this to feel like me through and through.
Good.
And so that's been my strategy. We'll see if it works. But the reasoning for that is, I think that in any politics, but really especially in local politics, which people pay a lot of it, you know, a lot of people pay quite a bit of attention to local politics because it impacts them in various ways all the time. Every, you know, it is the one we should all be paying attention to. Well, we should pay attention to all of it. But, and so I really just wanted that authenticity to come through, because when you're asking someone to trust you and that you are who you say you are, and then you put out an image that just seems very canned, I just, you know, logically that just didn't seem like it was going to be a good idea, and so I didn't do it.
That is, you know, there's the personal brand that you bring to, I don't know, your LinkedIn profile, and then there's the, okay, we're going to take that LinkedIn profile personal brand, and we're going to scale it up to the nth degree to be a candidate. That was that was there a lot of scale up, or did that authenticity kind of continue through? And,
what is this LinkedIn you're talking about?
You know, if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, I just
Have a LinkedIn.
You should
That's
have
right.
a LinkedIn profile.
I do have a LinkedIn profile. So I think that what I kind of took my Instagram profile.
Oh yeah.
And you know, because that's just who
a little more authentic.
Where I live on social media.
Okay.
You know, and I thought, I'm just going to, I want people to get to know me.
Right.
And so if they're going to social medias, again, I didn't, the only thing that I created that was new was an official campaign Facebook page, because you have to
do that to run
ads.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything else, I just want people to find me where I am, because all the content, they'll see what I've been doing for the past 15 years, or since 2007, I think, when I started my social media. And that's where I wanted them to go. You know, I didn't want to have to create, like, recreate something, like, here's what I want you to see.
Right.
I just want them to see who I am, because what I have done over the past 15 years, I'm the founder of Troost Market Collective. We do Troost to Palooza every year. We work with creative small business owners. We did the KC Art on the Block Black Lives Matter murals. I worked at the city for 2 years. I have been in service of my community for a long time, and that's all found there. So I would have rather had people just find me where I'm at, so they can see where I've been. Because I think that when you're looking at who your leadership is supposed to be, when the assignment is to be a public servant, if you can't find folks who have been serving their community, it's going to be a really steep learning curve for them to all of a sudden like understand what that means and what that looks like. So, you know, I just leveraged what I had, because I think that that is the value proposition, what I have done and what is important to me, which you can find all over my social media.
Outstanding. Well,
ad nauseum.
This, and we've talked about Instagram, we've talked about Facebook. I think that's a pretty good opportunity to transition into the lightning round. Here's how the lightning round works.
Okay.
Lightning round is short answer, soundbite answer. Quick answer kind of things, and there is no wrong answer. This is just you.
I am known for my rambling, but this is going to be a challenge. I'm ready. Okay.
Oh, we'll dive in if we need to. If there's something
short
that's so
answers.
Shocking, we will definitely dive
I want to see if I can do this. Okay,
all right.
I'm ready.
Your favorite social media platform?
Oh, Instagram.
Instagram.
But I'm ADHD a little bit, and like the a picture tells a thousand words. Like, you know, Instagram is great. I love it.
What are you posting on your Instagram? What kind of things?
Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm out doing. I mean, really just like things that are important to me. I love local business owners, especially creative business owners.
Yeah.
And so I really like to support them and give them, you know, place on my social media reach and things like that. Local restaurants. So, you know, I was over on St. John at an incredible incredible Mexican restaurant, mm-hmm. and they had the beef cheek and the beef tongue.
Oh,
Los Alamos. And that's hard to find. Yeah. And so, you know, I was like, I got to give them some love on social media so people know where you can find this stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, kind of the hidden treasures of Kansas City. And then, of course, mm-hmm. my kids and my new dog, who's just the worst. But I love her, but she's challenging.
Not there yet.
She's getting there. Why did I do this? And when I launched, I'm like, I'm going to go and run a campaign. This is going to be really hard. What else should I? Oh, get a big, giant puppy dog and, like... Just like, you know,
yep.
Choices.
Yep. All right. Okay. What businesses inspire you? It could be a brand, could be an individual company, big, small, doesn't matter.
You know,
what are you inspired by?
I am so inspired by people who start their business kind of up against all odds. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes when I'm out in the small business community especially, mm-hmm. You know, some people kind of have definite advantages to mm-hmm. starting their small business. But I like the folks who have no advantages and do it anyway. There's a quote by some, I don't know, philosopher or something. I'm not great with names.
That's all right. We'll look it up in the meantime,
yeah,
and we'll put it up
Google
on the screen
yes.
in our audio-only podcast.
That's what we'll do. So it says something to the effect that, you know, the universe favors... the courageous, you know, kind of implying that there's an unseen support system for people who dare to have courage. And so I really admire people who take risks and who have a lot of courage despite not having mm-hmm. advantages. Those are the folks that it's easy to get behind and want to cheer them on.
If there is a small business mantra, I think that may be it. It's be courageous and
yeah.
go ahead and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me go with, you're running a campaign. You're about to have an election coming up really soon. I'll say when you win, not if you win, when you win.
Yes, my election is in April. It is April 4th.
April 4th.
Is my primary.
Okay.
So, yes, that's
so
the city's primary.
So when you win that, uh-huh. how will you celebrate? How do you celebrate big
okay.
successes?
Okay, you know what? I have an answer for this. So my good friend, Quez, he owns an entertainment company called Quez Presents. He does brunch with Quez at Soiree, which is like, it's like Arsenio Hall meets Wendy Williams at Soiree. It's amazing. He just launched a new business with a tour bus, but we're going to turn it into a celebration party bus, and we are going to bump 90s hip hop and just like drive all over the 4th District
yep.
and just celebrate that way. I
yep.
think. Yeah. So I that is what we're going to do.
Outstanding. Let's see and we'll close it off with just the one question, and it's going to be the soundbite. It's your elevator pitch. It's the why should people vote for you? Why should they go ahead and get out of bed on that day, go out for the primary, make it happen, and have their voice heard? Why would they vote for you?
Well, you should get out of bed and vote that morning because leadership matters.
True.
The quality, the heart of your leadership, the work ethic of your leadership absolutely matters. And it might not impact your day-to-day as much as it does others, but if you care about the people in your community, mm-hmm. leadership matters. We need critical mass, which means multiple people mm-hmm. elected, that are authentic,
yes,
have human empathy, have rigorous logic, and are willing to go to work and treat it like a job. Because council people get paid $70,000 a year, mm-hmm. plus full benefits, plus a $10,000 office budget. That is
That's a
full-time
job.
Job.
That's a job.
It's not residual income. It's not a side hustle. It's a job, and the people need you. So please not only vote, but also look at the people who are running and see what they've been doing in their communities for the past 10 years and judge accordingly.
Absolutely. You know, that is inspirational for everything that we should be doing. Get up, make it happen. Chrissy Dastrup, thank you for stopping by. We're happy to talk to you today, and best of luck on April 4th.
Thank you. If anyone wants to volunteer, you know, you can go to my website, chrissyforkc.com. I am on social media, Chrissy Dastrup or Chrissy Dastrup for KC on my Facebook page. DM me, reach out. Let's make this happen.
I'm checking out the Instagram right now.
Oh,
all right. Thank you. And that is our show. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. I'd like to thank my guests this week, Chrissy Dastrup. If you're out and ready to vote, please, you know, drop her a line. I think she'd like that. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com. And if you have some thoughts, let us know. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another small business miracle. Bye.